All right. So this morning, on this 12th day of July, I've been really struck. We looked last week at the goal of being one in all that we do, and recognizing that Jesus' call to us has been unity. And there's another aspect that's come up this week that I want us to look at, and various influences, our Zoom meetings that we've been involved in, as well as my reading. And so I'm just titling this morning's message, Still Waters, Still Restoring. So here's my paragraph, if you haven't read it. Picture a lake that evokes these words: placid, limpid, serene, untroubled, transparent, clear. Now that would be a setting providing good medicine for restoring one's soul. Room to breathe, space enough to be unhurried, mellow enough to collect what's scattered, to quiet what's demanding, to believe what's promised, unplugged enough to float ideas, free enough to daydream, to lollygag, to dilly-dally. It's incredibly significant that Jesse's youngest son, David, the passion-driven shepherd, musician, poet, warrior, lover, king, national hero, came to know the God of Israel, his God, as one who provided that very thing. 1,000 years later, Jesus affirmed that his father had not changed, but was continuing to make provision for the full soul restoration of his children. And one of the things that really jumped out at me this morning, and this is not the passages I'm really looking at this morning, but so this is kind of a freebie on the side. But we often refer to Psalm 23 as, you know, this amazing psalm, and, you know, we recite it kind of like the Lord's Prayer sometimes, and we just kind of whip past it, not really getting the point. But I want you to look at the first few verses just briefly this morning, because here is David, whose earliest jobs as the youngest in the family was to look after the sheep. You know, this is what you did with the youngest in the family. They got sent off to the fields and they just looked after the sheep. And so David begins his psalm here by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's saying, I'm a shepherd. I know what that's like to look after the sheep. But he said, I'm also a sheep in the Lord's eyes. And so here I am as a shepherd, and I have the Lord who is my shepherd, my good shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, he says, I shall not be in want. One of the goals of a shepherd looking after sheep, and you know, we often say sheep are kind of dumb and they just kind of wander all over the place, eating and drinking where they can and not really paying attention to where they're going. And so they get lost and they stray away and get taken up by wolves and all this stuff. So there are many analogies that coincide with us. But David says, I shall not be in want because the Lord is my perfect shepherd. He takes care of all my needs. He watches over me. So basically, David said, I shall not know want because my shepherd is taking care of all of my needs. And so whatever I need is provided. And then he continues in this next verse, which I think is just an amazing thing. What is the Lord's way of dealing with us as his sheep, or dealing with David as his sheep? He makes me lie down in green pastures. If you're a sheep, where would you want to lie down? This is a source of provision. This is where food comes from. This is the habitat. It's almost like the Lord leads me to a buffet restaurant, an all-you-can-eat thing, which is so typically and horribly American that we love these things. But he makes me lie down in green pastures. He puts me in a place of abundant provision. And then he says, he leads me beside quiet waters. Here's an image of waters that are not running and bubbling, and it's not white water, it's not rough, because sheep will not drink, apparently, from quick flowing water that's bubbling and making noise and splashing, and they need calm, they need quiet. So not only does the Lord lead him into rest in a quiet meadow, a green meadow, but he also leads beside quiet waters. This amazing provision. And what's the result of resting in a green meadow and being led beside quiet waters, which a shepherd does? The result is he restores my soul. That's how his soul is restored. Green meadows, quiet waters. And I think the Lord is always about the business of leading us to those places where we can be restored, and he's very concerned about our soul. And for those of us who know Phil Stroud, who's the national director for Vineyard USA, you know, he had a mentor for years and years and years, an elderly pastor, and he would meet with Phil once a month, and he had this really deep radio voice, and he would sit in his chair in his office, and Phil would come in and sit down. And before anything else would happen, this pastor would look at Phil and go, "So Phil, how is your soul?" And they just stare at Phil and wait for Phil to come up with an answer. And so Phil knew basically that's how these times would be when they got together. And he would just sit and wait until Phil came up with an answer. And so he had to, what is the state of my soul? And I think in our day, it is so easy to be so distracted and so filled with stuff that we're not even aware of the state of our soul. But God wants to bring us to that place of quiet and stillness where we can actually think. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, or maybe you've said it, I'm so busy I can't even think. You know, I'm just rushing from one thing to the next and rushing from one thing to the next, to the point where sometimes we find ourselves not really present in the moment. And if we find ourselves in a situation, but we're not really paying attention because our mind is racing in five or six or more directions, That's a sign of an unquiet soul. We're just too busy. There's too much going on. And this day and age with so many sources of information and so many voices and so many strident voices, it's really easy for us to have our souls unquiet. And so what I really want us to look at this morning is the fact that the still waters are still restoring, and it's still God's plan. And so what I want us to look at this morning are God's threefold design for stilling the waters of our souls. He makes provision here, and he makes provision through the words of Jesus. And so I want us to look at these verses all out of the Gospel of John. I've just been so inspired again to get back into John, because we've been in our kinship. We've been studying the Gospel of John. So we're going to be, you know, continuing to look at that on Wednesdays. And so if you'd like to join us, you know, that's always a possibility. There's always room for one more, but it's a really good study. And so I want us to look at these three things that God provides for us, has always provided, but like so much that God provides, we need to take advantage of what he makes available to us. And I don't know about you, but it's really easy for me to get so focused that I think I'm doing things and I'm the one who's accomplishing things and it's my job. And I forget that, well, not really. It's God who does the work, and I just get to participate in what he's doing. So the first thing I think that God provides for us is this word love. And so just wanted to look at John 13:34 and 35. because this is so, this is a crucial element for us to have our souls quieted. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another." Then he says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus says, my example to you is that I have loved you. And so as you think about, as he's talking to these disciples, and he says, in all the ways I've shown you how much I love you, I want you to love one another. And it's always an incredible thing when we stop and think about the God of the universe loves us in that way, has demonstrated personal, intimate love for each one of his children. And then he wants us to turn around and with that same abundance of love, he wants us to relate to one another. And as we look around today, we have a few lessons to learn. We're not quite there yet. And that's part of our, part of the challenge that's before us. And then the second chapter that we want to look at in 14, chapter 14 of John 23 and 24, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words," Jesus says, "that you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And so Jesus says, as we love, we make room in our souls for Jesus and the Father to come. And then he says, we will come and make our home with him. And I think that just speaks of the fact that Jesus went back to the Father and sent the Spirit. And now the Spirit dwells within us, and God now is making his home in us through the presence of his Spirit. And so now we live because John later will be telling us that God is love. And so here is God, who is love, who is has made his home, his very presence, his being, his character of love is in us. You know, we do so much in order to be loved, to receive love, and to be assured that we are loved. And when we're not loved, or when we don't sense love, there is a rupture in our very souls, and there is a brokenness that comes because that is a basic need. So here is God who's created us with this need, but he's also the answer to that need. He comes as love to live within us by his Spirit, who is constantly reminding us that he is love. And so that's the first of this three-part design, I think, this threefold design for stilling the waters of our souls. We never, ever have to be afraid that we are not loved, because God is love and he lives in us. He is permanent. He can't deny himself. So much of Scripture refers back to this, that God loves us and he seeks us and he will be found by us if we look for him. And just so many scriptures that point this out. And so that's the first of the three elements that restores us and brings our soul to a place of quiet. And the second one, and you may guess these already, but the second element of this design that God has for us is joy. And, you know, again, these are probably some of the most familiar verses to us in all of Scripture. But in John 15, 11, Jesus says, "All this that I've told you about my Father and his love," he says, "all this I've told you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Wow. Jesus is describing what he intends to do for us. And so he says, I want you to understand the full picture here so that my joy might live in you, so that your joy then would be complete. And it's really easy to see if here is Jesus who is unlimited in his joy. And he installs his joy within us. It's easy to see that our joy would be complete because his joy is so enormous. It is so huge. He wants us to know his joy. In the next chapter over, 16 verses 20 through 22, Jesus continues and he says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices or while the world experiences joy. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, or you will experience joy. So Jesus is, I mean, this is just an amazing passage to me. Jesus is not hiding the fact that the road is going to be rough in front of his disciples. They're going to be answering to the beat of a different drummer. They're not going to be received. They're going to experience difficulties, and they're going to be thrown out of the synagogues, and they're going to be put to death and all those things. He's told them all of these things. And he says, okay, so now is your time of grieving and the world is rejoicing. But unlike the world, your grief will turn to joy. And you will see me again and your joy will be complete. This is part of my plan. Yes, you have to go through difficulties. Life is not going to be easy. Things are difficult. You will experience brokenness, as we were praying earlier. And Jesus says, we've made provision for that. This is only temporary, and there will come a time when you will again know the fullness of my joy. And in chapter 17, verse 13, he says, to the Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say all of that I'm saying to you while I am still in the world, so that my disciples may have the full measure of my joy within them. This, again, here is the second part of this threefold design to quiet our souls. Not just the full residential love of an eternal God, but the all-powerful, soul-completing joy of Jesus rests in us, stays in us, lives in us, transforms our souls, and brings us to quiet. And my guess is, in our challenging days that we're living in, and with all the news feeds and all of the various things that we're reading, it's really easy to think, wow, I don't know joy. I haven't had any joy for a long time. This is a really hard thing. How can we possibly think about joy? And yet what Jesus makes available to us is always in a fully completed, never-ending, never-diminishing fashion. And so even though these words of Jesus are from 2,000 years ago, he is still about the work, because his Father is not one who changes. There's not even a shadow of turning, we're told in Scripture. And so here's the Father, who is love living in us, provides us with all the joy that Jesus knew. And you remember that wild verse in Hebrews that says, Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the shame of the cross. Because he saw what was coming. That was a time of grief for Jesus. But even then, there was a joy in knowing this is worth it. You know, and if we've been through really, really painful things, and Jesus has cited childbirth, for those of us who know childbirth, as an example, there is a time of grieving, and then at some point that grieving turns to joy, and then we look back and we say, that was really hard, but boy, it was so worth it. So building projects, whatever we've done, college degrees, whatever, that were just really hard, and we were penniless and just so exhausted. But when it's done, it's like, so worth it. And you know, we're watching some of these home transformation shows online, and you know, some of these people go through such incredible pains and waiting and whatever to get their houses done up the way they want to get them done. But every time they say, at the end, it was so worth it. So we will know joy, and we will look back and say, the pain was worth it, because to know this now is just amazing. And it is also there to bring quiet to our souls. And then the third part of this threefold design, not just love, not just joy, although those are amazing, but peace. And continuing in John's gospel here, in John 14 and verse 27, another thing, Jesus' provision. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. See, when we're not aware of, and we're not paying attention to what we're paying attention to, it's easy to get distracted and forget that this super abundant provision of love and of joy and of peace has been made available to us, and the Holy Spirit's ministry to us is to remind us in every situation, regardless of how difficult, regardless of how dark the night, these things are provided for us. And yes, we're going through hard times. Yes, we will have difficulties. Yes, there are going to be pains. Yes, there are going to be obstacles. But these things are not given to us as the world gives. These things are ours in super abundance on a permanent basis. And so Jesus says, I don't give it to you as the world does. It just, you know, pops in momentarily. You're elated. You do cartwheels. Well, you might have done cartwheels back in the day. Most of us probably don't do that anymore. Except our young man here probably can do cartwheels. But the rest of us would probably get too hurt. But he wants us to know that he's given us this. And then in chapter 16, verse 32 and 33, these last verses, 16, 32, 33, is this the right one? Yes, he says, you're going to leave me all alone, but I'm not alone, because my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. How exciting. But then he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So in our day, with so much unrest and so much discouragement and anger and fear and all of the things that are happening, these words of Jesus, this provision is his. And what I really want us to be able to see and to recognize this morning is that this provision is so incredibly important for us as the church. If we're going to move forward, if we are going to be the voice of God into the situations that we're living in, if we are going to be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, our starting place, I think, needs to be quietness of soul, knowing that eternal God, who is love, the full and abundant and perfect peace of Jesus, as well as his joy. if that design is living in us, then as we move out, then as we move forward as the church to respond to the circumstances in our world today and all the inequity and all the difficulties that need to be changed as the church, and we may have other roles as we move forward in and whatever our sphere of influence is, but as we move forward, if we can have a full and present knowledge of love and joy and peace in our souls, then our souls will be restored. And then we're not coming from a place of unrest and unquiet and anxiety and anger and fear, but we can stand as the church. And again, Sue and I are continuing to be a part of these biracial discussions of Christian leaders around the country and literally around the world. And we're all hearing the same thing, that we need to come from this balanced position and we need to know who God is in us. And then from that place of settledness and of full awareness of who God is, then we can move out with confidence, with joy, and we can really see his kingdom moving forward. And so I just think it's so important for us in the month of July 2020, even globally, to know that God is still providing still waters that can restore our souls and give us a full extent so that what we say, all our words, all our actions, all our attitudes are imbued with love and joy and peace. And I think if we can really do that as the church, as we stand united, knowing God's love, knowing God's joy, and knowing God's peace, transformation can happen. And without it, I don't think it can happen. And so we are always encouraged not to despise small beginnings. And again, we look back at what was accomplished through 12 disciples. And we're all here today, one way or another, as a result of their faithfulness to carry out this mission. And so I just want us to know and to experience this love that the Father has for us, the joy that Jesus has left with us, as well as his peace, so that our hearts will not be troubled. He was fully aware of our trouble that would be ahead of us, but don't let us be afraid. Don't let our hearts move to fear. Because Jesus says, the good news is, I have already overcome the world. And 2,000 years later, he has still overcome the world. And so I just want to pray with us this morning as we close up here, recognizing this ongoing, amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for this ongoing work of making us lie down in green pastures and to lead us beside quiet waters so that our souls would be restored. So, Father, as we just take a moment to evaluate the condition of our souls this morning, where there is disquiet, where there's anxiety, where there's fear, where there's trouble, could we bring ourselves back to a recognition of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, who wants to remind us again of this threefold design that the Father has put in place for us, knowing that we're sheep, knowing that we would need constant care and supervision. So, Father, thank you for reminding us that we are not alone. Thank you for the assurance again, even 2,000 years later, that your love, your joy, your peace is still in abundant, never-ending quality and quantity. So thank you for this morning as we just soak in the reality of your provision for us. So whatever our starting point is here today, this 12th day of July 2020, Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for refreshing this design in us and bringing us to a place of centeredness in you. And we will give you praise, Father, as we unite our hearts and unite our goal and our purpose as the church to bring you honor and to make Jesus famous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.